Now, Pastor Bruce and Julie, thank you so much, first of all, for inviting me to your platform. It's such an honour to stand here at C3 Church Adelaide. And honestly, I'm really privileged to share with you part of my story of how I met Jesus Christ in the first place and how he's helped me in my life. But, you know, my message today is called Come and See. Say, come and see. Come and see. It's interesting the order of those words, come and see, and it's not see and then come, but it's come and see. And to me, that's just the essence of faith. And you know, you cannot please God without faith. Faith is God's currency. And, you know, I find it really interesting that, you know, stepping, you sort of got to take a step first before you can really see the truth. And that's what Jesus was trying to teach people in, you know, when he was going through the Bible and the Gospels, you can see many stories of Jesus trying to get people to have faith. Have faith, have faith, fear not, have faith in me. And that's what we're doing here today is I'm going to encourage you and inspire you to have some faith here today. Is that all right? Oh, it's so good. Now, I know it's very hard for you to believe this, but straight off the bat, I am a transformed person by the power of God. I know it's very difficult for you to believe that I used to be a drug addict, but I was a drug addict. For 15 years, these drugs had a grip on my life. And you know, that's what sin does. Sin has power to grip your life. And that is exactly why Jesus came, to break the power of sin. He broke the power of sin so that you no longer had to struggle in your own strength to overcome things in your life. And for me, overcoming drugs was impossible. I used to do things that I felt like I had no control over. That is the power of sin. You know, a lot of us have habits we want to break. A lot of us have things in our life that we're trying to overcome, but I'm telling you that the good news here is that you can overcome anything, even death, by the power of Jesus Christ. Jesus overcame death so that death could no longer hold him down, which means death and everything working backwards from death, including sickness, addiction, anxiety, fear, all these issues in life can be overcome by the power of God. Do you believe that? I want to put faith in your spirit today. And, you know, I'm reading about a woman, the woman at the well in John 4 for you. I want to share this story with you today because I think it represents a lot of us. I think the woman at the well was trying to get her physical needs met. I think the woman at the well was looking for love in all the wrong places. I think the woman at the well needed to have a one-on-one encounter with Jesus. I really feel in my spirit today that Jesus wants to have a one-on-one with you. He wants to, like Pastor Bruce said, he wants to come up real close to you today. He does want to get up your nose. He doesn't want to get up your nose. He wants to get in your heart. He wants to get inside of you. And that is the absolute precious gift that is available for us. You know, it's not anything we've done. It's not anything we've earned. You know, 2 Ephesians verse 8 says, it's by grace we're saved through faith. And this is not from ourselves. It's a gift. It's the gift of God. So no one can boast. It's the pure power of God. It's what Jesus decided to do for us, lay down his life. You know, what other king? What other king lay down his life for love? He loves you. And, you know, I think that's amazing. Nobody killed Jesus. No one killed him. He decided, he chose to lay down his life for love because he loves you. He loved this woman at the well so much. He knew that she needed to find living water, not just physical water was what she was after. And the story starts that the disciples were baptizing people and, you know, Jesus was on a journey with his disciples and he had to go through Samaria. And when he went through Samaria, you know, it said that Jesus was tired and he sat down at the well and the disciples went into town to buy food. But Jesus knew that there was a woman who was going to come to the well to get water. And what Jesus was most concerned about was giving this woman what she really needed, and that was eternal life. She needed water that would never run out. She needed a drink in her spirit because everything she had tried had not worked. It said that she had this one-on-one encounter with Jesus. It's so powerful, it changed her life. Do you know when you have a one-on-one encounter with Jesus, it literally changes your life. Your eyes, your spiritual eyes are open. And in fact, just before this story in John 4, in John 3, Jesus was teaching Nicodemus about the truth. And he said this in John 3:3, we might bring that scripture up. He says, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again." Yeah. See, you can't see Jesus, you can't see God unless your spirit is born again. This is what Jesus was trying to do for the woman at the well. He was trying to get her to see him, to see that he was the Savior of the world. Jesus said, "I did not come into this world to condemn the world. I came into this world to save the world." And he is a Savior. He's a healer. He is a deliverer. Those are his three job descriptions of Jesus Christ. He delivered us from evil. He saved us from our own sin. And he gave us eternal life. And he heals all our sicknesses and diseases. You know, it says that he says to the woman at the well, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." He's saying, you know, if you only knew me, if you only knew how much I love you, you'd come to me and ask me for the answers instead of going out and trying to get it all the answers yourself. If you could just come to God, you could have supernatural power behind you to get answers to your prayers, answers that you really need for your life. And not only that, but true fulfillment, true purpose, true, you know, there's nothing that fulfills you like God. It is that living water that never runs out. You know, I first had an encounter with Jesus Christ when I was 29 years old. And just last week, no, not really. Actually, about 23 years ago, you can do the maths. That's when you're supposed to go, "No way, you missed it. I'll give you another opportunity." That was about 23 years ago. Oh, thank you so much. Stroke me. But no, I was 29 years old. Like I said, I was absolutely drug addicted. I would wake up every morning and be stoned until the time I went to sleep. And I lived like this, not because I was a bad person or, you know, such an awful person, but because I was such a broken woman. I was a lot like the woman at the well. I'd looked for love in all the wrong places because growing up I had my mum and dad, they were both alcoholics. My mum had a massive cerebral hemorrhage when I was just 5 years old. At just the age of five, seeing your mum in hospital with all her hair gone and big bandage around her head and knowing that her brain had been altered in such a massive way was a bit scary. I actually fainted as a five-year-old. I saw my mum and just fainted. I had this sort of revelation at the age of five that, I think I'm on my own from here. And me and my sister, we decided that we would be the family. We'd parent each other. Dad never came home. He was a bit of a womanizer, my dad. My mum was a very difficult person to live with, especially after the operation. She was altered. She was never the same. And so she was on a lot of drugs, tablets for the pain. She was paralyzed all down her left side. And she was a long time in recovery. I'm not sure she ever recovered. So my dad found it really difficult. I suppose he found love in other places. And we knew that it was just a matter of time before our parents would split up, but we were just doing the best we could. We had a very tumultuous household. Like I'm talking yelling and screaming every night. And it was my mum that was abusing my dad physically, throwing knives at him, all sorts of stuff. Me and my sister, we found ourselves a couple of hiding places, and one of those hiding places for me was the swimming pool. And we had a swimming pool in the back garden, and I would literally spend hours and hours underwater in the swimming pool, just in peace. You know how peaceful it is underwater? You can't hear yelling, you can't hear screaming, you can't hear turmoil. And it became that place of peace for me and that hiding place for me. The place I'd go just to dream and to get a vision, and, you know, it was just my happy place. And sooner enough, my dad sort of saw me doing a few tricks off the side of the pool. I taught myself how to do some somersaults and stuff, and he signed me up for diving lessons. And I went along to diving lessons and I fell in love. Just fell in love with this sport. This was so good because what I could do off the side of the pool on a platform and on a springboard, I had leverage. I was like, wow, I can spin more, I can twist more. This is awesome. And so I just fell in love with the sport and started diving 7 days a week, training 7 days a week, twice a day on weekends. I was committed. I had this dream just took hold of me. I was going to go to the Olympics. I was going to represent Australia, and I was going to win a gold medal. And that was the dream, and that's what I put all my eggs in, that one basket. And, I dreamt about it, envisioned it every night, because diving is little did I know, God was teaching me about faith right back then, because when you dive, you have to see it in your mind's eye and then your body follows. And so you visualize the dive and then you actually do the dive. So I started visualizing myself winning a medal and everything. At just age 11, can you imagine how short I was at 11? Right? This is me with heels on, 5 foot nothing with my thongs on. The ones on your feet, yeah. And, so at just age 11, I did get to represent Australia, but in the World Diving Championships in Texas, Houston, and then on to Canada. I got to carry the flag because I was the shortest. And 1977, just me and the Aussies out there, the diving team, was such a privilege to represent my country. I came seventh in the world, up against a lot of older girls and stuff. And it was such an amazing opportunity. And I came back from that even more determined, even more passionate to follow my dream to get to the Olympics. On my 14th birthday, however, I took a dive that would completely change my life. It was off the 10-metre platform. And that day was a very different day. It was the first time that I didn't feel invincible. What had happened was my dad didn't show up for this competition. This competition was absolutely imperative in terms of the selection process to get me towards the Olympics. And I was so disappointed that my dad just didn't bother to show up. Or what had happened? Why had he not turned up? And so I was gutted. To make things worse, it was my birthday. And 7th of February, if you want to send gifts, you can do that. I was just gutted. Where was Dad? And I remember climbing up that tower that day, just the first time in my, like this wound. I was wounded with disappointment. And I was downcast. And for the first time, I lost my joy. I lost my vision. And I remember going out to the edge of that tower and having to do a back dive. And I've done 1,000 back dives, 1,000 of them. It wasn't a hard dive. But my heart was wounded. I lost my vision. I couldn't see. I couldn't see the dive. And so I took off, and instead of bringing the dive straight through the water like a pencil, I overextended my spine on entry and went under hardly any water at all and ripped all my neck, spine and hips out of joint. I went smack. It was like hitting concrete from 10 metres. I was unconscious in the water, and 3 judges on each side dive in and rescue me out of the water and bring me up. And I remember opening my eyes and I had a very different vision. I remember I was, how impressionable you are when you're young. I was, 14 years old, and I'd seen this television show where a girl had fallen off a horse, and she was, the next screenshot was like she was saying, "I can't feel my legs, I can't feel my legs." And then the next shot was her in a wheelchair for the rest of the life, and the show was about her and her being a cripple, and that was the only thing I could think of was, oh my God, I'm going to be a cripple because I can't feel my legs. I was telling people, I can't feel anything, I can't feel my legs. And but the good news is I was not put in a wheelchair for the rest of my life, but I'm telling you, from that dive, for the next 15 years, I was in absolute chronic pain. My back was all twisted, this right leg was that much shorter than my left leg because my hip was twisted, my neck was twisted, and I was twisted. I mean, I was in so much pain. I was twisted, sister. I mean, I was in so much pain I couldn't sit in a chair for more than a minute without cramping up. I had to be constantly standing on the move, which is why I just got really angry, disappointed, frustrated, and thought to myself, if I can't be a diver, I don't want to do anything. I lost hope because all my hope was in one basket. All my hope, all my eggs, all my dreams, all my vision was that I believed that I was born to go to the Olympics and be a diver. And I lost it. And so now what? And I didn't have any parents, friends, family, anybody to tell me that there was hope. And I was just left to my own devices. And so I got really rebellious. I started acting out. You know, I went from being an elite sports person to just a complete nightmare. And I got expelled from one of the poshest schools in Sydney. Sorry, Dad, for all those dollars. But, you know, I just wanted to get kicked out of school. Had no vision, had no hope. I had no respect for my own life. I just wanted to go as crazy as I could and end it. And I discovered down this dark path, this drug taking group of girls at school who, you know, I ended up leading because, you know, I'm passionate about everything I do. So yeah, I just took over, and you know, I'm a bit of an entrepreneur. So I thought you better make some money along the side. So I started selling drugs. I know it's hard to believe because I look so angelic today. I know, but yeah, it's exactly what happened. This drug-taking life just took over me. And you know what? It was numbing the pain. It was numbing the pain in my spine physically, but it was also numbing the most important pain, which was in my heart. It was a loss. I'd suffered a loss. I'd suffered a disappointment. And, you know, disappointment left unchecked can become unbelief. It can become such a weapon of the enemy to use against you, you know, and disappointment. And little did I know that God wanted to turn my disappointment into an appointment. And what happened was, like, for 15 years, like I said, I lived like this. And when I was 29, this one girl, she saw my pain. Just like Jesus saw that woman at the well's pain, this one girl, she was a Christian. I didn't know she was a Christian. She saw my pain and she invited me to a church just like this, a C3 church. And I was like, no way. Do you want to know my first ever prayer to God? Dear God, if you're real, get me out of going to church. Send me a sign. And in the morning, I woke up and she was like, she had this plan for me. She had this plan that I needed Jesus, that I needed healing, that I needed saving. Now, little did I know, I was completely oblivious to the whole plan, but she ended up being pretty bossy and saying, you're coming to church with me. And praise God she did that. And anyway, she sits me in the front row of the church. She's told the whole church I'm coming. And they've been all praying for me. She's like, my friend from Australia's coming. I was in New York City. I went over there to find her. And I went there and she's like, my friend's coming and she's going to get powerfully saved. And she's going to get a new life and she's going to get born again. And she's going to see how much God loves her. Anyway, that was the first time I'd ever heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel, the good news that Jesus was offering me a clean slate. Total forgiveness of sins in exchange just for me to believe. That was my job. My job was to believe. His job was he went to the cross and died for my sin. All I had to do was believe. I couldn't believe how simple that was, and I was grappling with it in my head. How can it be that? Don't I have to be a good person to come to God? Surely I have to be a little bit good. Like, I didn't have any little bit good in me. I didn't even have a skerrick, not even a seed of good in me. I mean, I'd done so many bad things and I'd taken so many people down the wrong road with me. And so when I came to church, I was a little bit scared, you know, but I remember just hearing about the love of God. It was like Jesus was saying the same thing to me as he was to the woman at the well. He was saying, if you knew me, if you really knew me, you would come to me and ask me for living water and I would give you eternal life. If you just knew how much I loved you. And I was like, how can God love me if I'm that messed up? That's the most powerful scripture that says, you know, when Christ died for us, we were at our worst. We come to Christ when we haven't got it together. We come to Christ when we're full of sin. And that is when Jesus said, yep, that's when I chose you. I chose you because I love you and I want to have a one-on-one encounter with you. You know, I want you to really know me. I want to open your eyes to see. And, you know, I heard that if I just believed, if I took a step of faith, I thought this is a bit like diving. I have to do it and then I'll see it. And so anyway, that day I just put up, they said, just raise your hand if you've never intentionally prayed a prayer to Jesus to come into your life, into your heart, and to receive that gift of salvation. And so I tentatively put up my hand that day, and it was the greatest thing I ever did, because as I raised my hand, I started to see. My spiritual eyes started to open. And as I stepped out of my seat, I came down on the altar and I was like, yep, I can't understand it all. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going to step out and just see. And as I did that, I just discovered this amazing presence of God. His love just came over me. I started crying and crying and repenting, and all of a sudden I could see all my mistakes and all the stuff that I'd done wrong, and I was just repenting and saying, I'm so sorry, God, for this and that and that and this and that and the other. And I'd never been to church before. I thought it was like, you know, I had to confess my sins to the congregation. I turned around, started saying sorry to everybody, and the pastor's like, you don't have to do that. It's all right. Just, it's fine, you know. You could just, God knows. You know, God knows you. He knows you. He wanted to make the woman at the well feel known. That is why Jesus said to the woman at the well, you've had 5 husbands. That blew her away. She was like, how does he know that? Then she said to him, wow, I can see that you're a prophet. See, his word of knowledge about her just blew her, opened her eyes so that she could see that this man was supernatural. And the truth of that story is that he knew that he said to her, you've had 5 husbands. The husband you're with, the guy you're with right now is not your husband. So that's man number 6. What she really needed was to meet man number 7, the man from heaven, right? That's what she really needed. He was just lined himself up to be number 7, the perfect number. He is the perfection in your life, you know. And she met him. She was so excited, so profoundly touched when she met Jesus Christ. The first thing she did was run into the town where she had a lot of haters, let me tell you. They had judged her as being kind of a loose woman since she'd had 5 or 6 guys in her life. She was looking for love. She was looking for love. You know, don't condemn her. She was just doing what we're doing. Looking for love, looking for fulfillment in just the wrong places. She didn't know. But she ran to the people that were hating her and said, you got to come. Come. Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. You can't believe it. He knew I had 5 husbands. He knows the guy I'm with. He's not my husband. He knows me. He knows me. That's exactly how I felt when I came to Jesus. I'm like, oh my goodness. He's seen everything. That was good and that was bad. That was good, but that was bad. I'm so sorry, God. His love was just there to wash all my sin away and say, you know what? I love you, Nick. I love you, and I'm going to give you a new life. And you know, in that moment, I was born again. Had a new life, a new chance. The old was gone and the new had come. And this is the amazing invitation that Jesus continues to offer people week, day, hour after hour, day after day, week after week. I'm so passionate to throw out the invitation to you. I will throw out the invitation to you, because wherever I go, how could I keep that good news to myself? How could I get my ticket to the best party in the universe and not invite everybody else along? I mean, how could you do that, Christians? I mean, you know, we have to have the same message inside of us as the woman at the well did. Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Come and see Jesus who won't judge you. Come and see Jesus Christ. Invite him into your life and he will save you. He will give you this free gift of eternal life. Oh, it's amazing. You know, yeah, give him a hand. He is amazing. So good. And, you know, I picked up this little book on healing after I got saved, and it said, it was so simple. It said, if you pray in the name of Jesus, you'll be healed. Well, I just had childlike faith. I just believed. Do you know, it was written in the book. It was just written in the book. You know, I just decided that whatever's written in the book, I was going to believe. But I had no reason not to. And so I ran to the pastors and I said, I'm going to get healed. You're going to pray for me. I'm going to sit in a chair. I'm going to put my two legs out like the photo of the girl in the book. I'm going to do this. She had one leg shorter than the other leg. I knew it was God telling me, this is you in the book and I'm going to heal you too. And so I just ran to the pastors. I bossed them around. I said, now, don't forget, you have to say the name of Jesus when you pray. That's the important part because that's how I'm going to get healed. And I'm like, thanks for that clue, Nick. We'll make sure we do that. And so anyway, I received this prayer of faith, a prayer of healing. They said from the top of Nicola's head to the bottom of her feet, heal her spine, her neck, her hips in Jesus' name. They were very obedient pastors. And this power, amazing, like, you know when you run your hand underwater and there's that resistance? It was like that in the atmosphere. What happened was I started to laugh like laughing gas and I started to feel like this power come inside of my body, this amazing supernatural power of God. I was laughing because I was just overwhelmed and this joy hit my life. And then for the next two and a half hours, God completely reconstructed my spine, my neck, my hips. I watched my own right leg grow out back into place. I felt my hips go into a new position, well, the original old position. And, you know, I had to learn how to walk again because I didn't trust where the bones were sitting. You know, I was like, oh, what if I put my whole weight down on that when after God had healed me? And I'm telling you, I felt the power of God go right through my body. It was like as if Jesus was my chiropractor taking me through these exact precise movements really slowly, really tenderly. But boy, oh boy, I mean, my bones were moving on the inside of me. I'm like, if this God can move bones, oh my goodness, I think I better serve him. I think he's in charge. And that day was a deeper call. It was a deeper call to give my whole life. You know what? He didn't even have to ask the question. The question was the elephant in the room. He didn't even have to ask it. The same question he asked the woman at the well, will you serve me? And I said, yes, of course, you're moving my bones. I'm not arguing with you. I want to tell you this. If God can move my bones, he can certainly move your situation. He can certainly come into your life like he came into my life and do something supernatural. Do you believe that? And, you know, I want to give everybody an opportunity here today to receive that free gift I'm talking about. And it's so simple. I can't believe how simple. It takes courage, I admit. It took courage for me to go, okay, I surrender. Because you know what? It is a surrender. We're human. We want to do it our way. We've got our plans. You know, I thought that the call that my life was to be a diver. You know, what I realized was I got to represent Australia, right? Which was an amazing privilege, but I realized that God had a way bigger plan. He wanted me to represent him. He wanted me, he calls us representatives of Jesus Christ, ambassadors even, to represent his name. What a higher, most amazing, more honor to represent a kingdom other than a country. And I've been representing Jesus ever since I met him. And I want to be a good representative to you and say to you this, if you just knew how much he loves you, you would come to him and you would see how much he loves you. And not only that, you would see the real destiny on your life, the real calling, your real purpose, why he's given you the particular gifts he's given you, why he's put you with the people he's put you. You will see more when your spiritual eyes are open. And so right now I want to give everybody an opportunity to do exactly what Jesus is saying, to get born again on the inside of your spirit so that your spiritual eyes are opened. It's a miracle how that happens. And it happens because Jesus overcame death. He was resurrected after 3 days of being dead. We're not serving a God who's dead. We're not serving an image. We're not serving some religion. We're not belonging to some club. We're actually belonging to Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, who was resurrected from the dead. And now he is the King of glory. He's a king that laid down his life on purpose for you because he loved you. He humbled himself to the point of death so that we might have life. He did. One man died for many. One man put his life on the line. A king, no doubt. The King of Kings. You know, I say to God all the time, you know, oh, I was looking for a man like the woman at the well, but you are the man. He's the King of glory. So right now, right across this room, just close your eyes in prayer. I want you to do spiritual business with God. Spiritual business here today. I'm calling you to ask yourself this. Are you reconciled to God? Have you had your sin forgiven? You know, you might say, but I'm not a sinner. I'm a good person. But you know what? You can't say that you're a good person because there's not much good in us, really. We're born into this disobedience that Adam and Eve inherited for us, where, you know, you only have to look at little kids to get that, right? We're born into disobedience. It's not really our fault that we were born into disobedience, but then it really is our fault because we continue in our disobedience. But that is why Jesus came, threw down his crown, took off his crown as a king. He came to live a life like a man, so that you and me could say, he gets it. He actually had human qualities and still did not sin. He overcame the devil. He did it for you and me so that we could come and have eternal life. Right now, right across this room, God's love is just so urgent for you. God's love is knocking on your door. God's love, his grace, his mercy. His mercy triumphs over judgment every time. He's not here to judge you. He's not here to condemn you. He's here to offer you that amazing free gift of eternal life. And right now, I'm going to ask you to do something a little bit courageous. A little bit courageous because it takes a step of faith. Talking about faith, you got to do something to show God your faith. Faith has action. And so right now I'm going to ask you to do something a little courageous with every eye closed right across here. This is between you and God, just you and God. This is a one-on-one encounter. This is you like the woman at the well, Jesus and you, just Jesus and you. And he's asking you this, will you come and see? Will you come to me and see what I have planned for you? And right across this room, I'm going to ask you, if you've never asked Jesus to come into your life, like an intentional prayer that says, you know what, I'm going to let you in, God. I'm going to let you in. I'm going to surrender and finally let you into my life. In a minute, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand just as a sign to say yes to God. You're saying, yes, I want that salvation that Nicola talks about. You're saying, yes, Jesus, come into my life and take away all my mistakes and give me that new life that Nicola's talking about. If that's you, in a minute, I'm going to ask you just to simply raise your hand. Every person has got their head bowed and their eyes closed. This is business between you and God. You know, if you've never done that before, I'm going to ask you to be bold, but also you may have done that before, but you know what? You need to make a fresh commitment because you're not living right with God and you need to come back. You need to make a comeback and come and see that Jesus really is for you, not against you, you know? So if that's you, you're doing that for the first time, maybe you're coming back today or maybe you're just not sure of your salvation. And I'm telling you this, if you're not sure of your salvation, you're probably not saved. Get sure. Get sure today. This is a life-changing moment, a game-changing moment. When you come face up to Jesus, your life is going to change for the good. I'm telling you, eternal life is knocking on your door right now. Who is there? Just raise your hand now. Say, that's me. That's me. Just raise it up and I'm going to pray a prayer of faith over you today. Who is there? Just raise your hand up nice and high so I can see. Holy Spirit's knocking. Knock, knock, knock. Let me in. Who? I see you, sweetie. Thank you. So good. I see you. God sees you. Who else is there? Just raise your hand. Raise it up nice and high so I can see. Who else is there? Thank you. I see you. What a great decision, young man. You won't regret that. I'm telling you, Jesus is knock, knock, knocking. Will you let me in? Come and see. Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Come and see a man. Come and meet Jesus. Who is there? I know I'm battling for one more person. I just know there's one more person here. I'm waiting for you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Who else is there? Oh, I still feel like there's one. I still feel like there's one. I'm waiting for you. Who else? Just raise your hand. Just go the bold. Don't worry about the person next to you. This is about you and God getting things right. You and God getting things right. Final call. Who is there? Just raise your hand. Raise it up. Or just look at me. If you don't want to put your hand up, just look at me. Eyeball me right now. Is that you? All right. Let's pray this prayer together. I'm going to ask the people that raised their hand and also the people that should have raised their hand to come and see. I'm going to ask you to do something bold. I'm going to ask that the person next to you comes with you. But I want to pray for you and I want you to have a real deal encounter with Jesus. And so is it going to be a little uncomfortable? Just a little. But you know what? I figure we should be just a little uncomfortable when we come face to face with God. So as we stand, I want you to be courageous and come out the front and so that you can see and your spirit can be truly born again. So why don't we stand and give these people a round of applause as they come. Why don't you just come and see, come and see. So good. We're going to pray a prayer of faith. This is your prayer to God. You're inviting Jesus to come into your life. Do you know, if you know you should be down here, you can pray this in your seat and then tell someone later. I actually prayed that prayer. I just didn't want to go out the front. Just tell someone, okay? So say these words after me. Say, Dear Jesus, I let you in. Come into my life. Come into my heart. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, living water that'll never run dry. I receive eternal life by faith in Jesus Christ. Forgive me for all my mistakes and wipe me clean. In Jesus' name, I'll follow you now and surrender my life to your will. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 That's so good.